Have you ever wondered how to grow as a Christian?
Join us on today's episode of Wake Up with Hope as we feature a special segment on Christian growth.
Plus, we have a dedicated prayer session and more.
Tune in. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. We are so glad you have chosen to join us this morning.
We sure are, friends. We're excited to be here waking up with hope, that hope that can only be found in Jesus. And today we want to share that special hope with you.
Amen. You know, today is National Spinach Day.
Right. Yummy.
Yes. You know, though many kids and adults would turn up their noses at the sound of this, spinach is a power food. I mean, I grew up with Popeye.
Yep.
Did you watch Popeye?
Yep.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. You got to eat up that spinach.
Yep. Spinach is loaded with vitamin K, A, and C, also manganese and magnesium.
Oh, wow.
So it's a good thing.
Yeah. And so we should be regularly including this green in our diet.
And if you're thinking about all the ways to sneak it in, you can add a handful of spinach in a fruit smoothie. We've done that for years.
Yes.
So easy and quick. Try a raw spinach salad with your favorite salad dressing and stir it into a soup. Your body will thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, we have a lot to cover today, and we're excited to begin by sharing the love of Jesus with you. So let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1969, Women's Strike for Peace staged a significant anti-war demonstration in Washington, D.C., marking the first large-scale protest since President Richard Nixon took office in January. Initially hopeful that Nixon would fulfill his promises to end the Vietnam War, the anti-war movement grew disillusioned as it became evident that he lacked a swift resolution. With the conflict persisting, opposition to Nixon's war policies intensified throughout his presidency.
You know, friend, have you ever felt discouraged or disappointed as you find yourself in troubles that persist? You know, troubles and difficult circumstances that don't let up. And it's during these most difficult times that God calls us to trust in Him. You know, as we navigate through seasons of uncertainty and unrest, we can take heart in the promise of Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
You know, and with God as our guide and protector, we can courageously confront the challenges in our lives, knowing that His love and grace are sufficient to sustain us through every trial.
Praise God for that, friends. The Incredible Journey is back this morning with an exclusive segment on 6 steps to Christian growth.
Have you ever wanted to be a better Christian? You know, a more faithful and devout follower of Jesus? It's important that we grow as Christians. Growing in our relationship with the Lord is a lifelong process. Growing as a Christian is growing in our faith, growing in holiness, growing in our knowledge of God, and growing in our love for God and for others. Spiritual growth is not automatic. It is something we must pursue. And there are a few essential and basic things that every Christian needs in order to grow spiritually. Here are 6 simple ways to help you grow as a Christian this year. And to make it easy, just remember the word growth. G, go to God in prayer daily. The Bible says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. R, reading the Bible daily. Try beginning with the Gospel of John. The Bible says, "They received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily." Obey God's commandments. The Bible says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Witness for Christ by your life and words. The Bible says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Trust God for every detail of your life. The Bible says, "Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." Holy Spirit. Allow Him to control and empower your daily life. The Bible says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." If you really want to be a better Christian, a more devout and faithful follower of Jesus, try following these 6 simple suggestions to deepen your faith life and strengthen your relationship with Jesus. And if you'd like to find out more about growing as a Christian, then I'd like to recommend the free Bible reading guide we have for you today.
Well, we have to take a short break, but when we return, we'll have the Let's Pray team joining us for prayer.
Now, don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more exciting content.
And check us out on YouTube, friends. Subscribe to our channel and keep up with us there. See you back in just a moment.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. You know, we believe our program will make a difference in your day today.
This morning, our praying friends from the Let's Pray team are back to lead us in a season of prayer as we pray for joy. Let's claim the promise found in Psalm 30, verse 5, which says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning."
Well, good day to you. I don't know what time of day you're seeing this, if you're watching with us in the morning or afternoon or evening, but it's that time again, wherever you are, to pray together. Hi, my name is Susan Cromwell. I am the host of Hope Channel's Let's Pray, and it's my honor to pray with you today. We're going to be talking about joy. We're going to be praying about joy. Do you know it says in Psalm 30, verse 5, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. The Bible says in John 17:17, to sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the truth. And Father, because your word is the truth, not a truth, not my truth, the truth, because that's true. When it tells me, Father, that I will possibly ache, that I will have trouble, that weeping may endure for a night, for a time, there can be sorrow. But Father, your joy comes in the morning. This helps me to know, Father, that not only will I experience hard things in my life, we all will, but that, Father, that buoyancy will return. We may come under the water for just a bit, but Father, that buoy will pop back up. That buoyancy will come back. And so, Father, we don't have to fear the night. We don't have to fear the heartache. All the ways where the struggles of this world threaten to overcome us, the emotions of whatever we're facing to overwhelm like a tidal wave, Heavenly Father. Lord, whenever these things come upon us, Jesus, we can be afraid at times. But Lord, your word promises that joy comes in the morning. And whether it is a period of time or it's a short time, Father, the promise is that it will return. So Jesus, wherever this community finds itself today, in the middle of heartache, on the other side of heartache, looking back and praising you, wherever they are, Jesus, I pray, Lord, that we would remember that yes, we will face struggles, but our buoyancy will return because you are faithful. Jesus, I thank you for the refining fire of circumstance. I thank you, Jesus, that for that beautiful character that you're growing in. And while we're in the midst of it, Jesus, it does not always feel so great. Father, I have hope. And I pray that this community would have hope, Lord, that we would be encouraged, Jesus, to know that you've not left us, you've not forsaken us, and that even though we cannot see our way through at times, you can. And that even if we feel underwater, our literal guard of life, our life guard, walks on water. You're never going to leave us there, Father. And even though we walk through that valley of the shadow of death, we can fear no evil in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for your protection and your covering over this community. I thank you, Jesus, that you stop to weep with us when we weep, just like you did for Mary and Martha regarding Lazarus. You care. But Father, you're still going to bring life. And I praise you, Father, for the hope, not only of eternal resurrection, Father, but that rebirth, that new creation that's coming, that beautiful character that's being refined right in the midst of our struggle. And Lord, I want to pray for those who cannot even muster the faith or the strength to pray today. We as a community, Lord, we have faith for them when they don't. We're going to throw our arms around them spiritually, Heavenly Father, and say, Lord, we believe on their behalf. Would you tend to their needs? Would you continue to sustain them during their struggle, Heavenly Father? Would you continue, Heavenly Father, to love them and comfort them in a place where there are no words? Because weeping may endure for a night, but your joy, not what the world gives, Father, your joy comes in the morning. And I thank you, Father, that the sun rises every day and that your mercies are new every day, Father. So bless and keep this community wherever they are, struggle, victory, or somewhere in between, Lord. And we thank you that you're faithful in all things in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, family. I pray that you are encouraged and we'll see you soon.
Jamie George, Neville Peter, and Yolanda Palmer now join us as a musical trio as they share the song, Spirit and the Bride.
Revelation 22:17. Let him take the water of life freely.
We have to take a short break now, but after the break, Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will bring us hope from God's Word. Wake Up with Hope. We'll be right back.
We are so glad you've chosen Wake Up with Hope to start your day. Welcome back.
And as promised, this morning we have Elizabeth Talbot from our friends at Jesus 101 who will be sharing this morning's devotional thought.
Hello, everyone. Today we continue with our series on the Gospel of Luke, and our title is You Are Accepted. Perhaps you remember when you were a little kid that we used to create this paper people chains. I did many of them when I was a little girl. And here I'm going to make one for you that I was starting before we started the program. It was so good to do these and then put them together and say, hey, they all like each other and they are holding hands and they are living in peace. I mean, we all as kids used to get, you know, such a kick out of this. And not just little girls, we used to make little boys too. And here I'm going to make a little boy for you. And it was so awesome to think that when we grew up, everybody was going to get along, that we were all going to like each other. Here I have some boys for you. And sometimes we said, even girls and boys can get along. Even black and white can get along. Even old and young can get along. Everybody can get along. And then we grew up and we found out that society didn't really work like that. There is a very known social psychologist called Henry Teufel. He's known for his work on the cognitive side of prejudice. And he found out that the us versus them is an actual verifiable human condition. That we all create little groups for any reason, even for the color of our eyes or our taste in art, that we say, no, it's us versus them. Of course, the color of the skin, the accent, many other things can obviously offer us opportunities to do the us versus them mentality. The Gospel of Luke has a message that God accepts us all and that he wants us all. And that, you know, Luke does something really interesting. He intercalates stories of men and women, you know, men and women. And he does Jews and Gentiles and those who were high status versus those who were low status. Because Jesus came to save all who would accept him. And so we're going to study how the gospel, the good news of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, gives dignity and freedom to everyone, even those that were considered outcast and were not accepted in that society, and that the least, the last, and the lost were accepted by Christ. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 4. It's a very interesting story. Happens in Nazareth, and Nazareth was the town where Jesus grew up. And it didn't have a very good reputation. You know, we can see that in John 1 when Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was a little town, and Jesus grew up there. And now, as a grown-up man, and now he was becoming famous, he came back to Nazareth. And he went to the synagogue where he had been many, many times as a child. You know, I had the opportunity to visit Nazareth, and they did a whole village of the way it would have looked at the time of Jesus. If you ever get to go to Nazareth, make sure you go to that village. It's very interesting, different parts of the village. And of course, they have the synagogue, and I'm going to show you a photo of me inside the synagogue that they created for Nazareth. And I'm holding the scroll right there in the little pulpit they have. But Jesus went to Nazareth, and they gave him a scroll to read. And it was the scroll of Isaiah. And Luke chapter 4, verse 17, says that the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. And look what he found, verses 18 and 19 of Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. It's interesting because these two verses come from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And they're beautiful verses, how the Messiah would come for the oppressed and to set the oppressed free and to heal the brokenhearted. Those were all people that were on the margins, supposedly, of society, right? But what is interesting here is that when he sits down, it's not because he's done. They used to stand up to read and sit down to teach. So when Jesus sits down, it says that all the eyes are on him because they're waiting for a teaching from Jesus. Don't forget, he is from Nazareth. And so people want to see what he's going to tell them. And he says to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And then he starts speaking, teaching them about himself and his mission. Verse 22, and all were speaking well of him and wondering of the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? Everybody's speaking well of him because the content of his teaching is words of grace. And they're all liking this. And they're saying, hey, he finally is here. Maybe this is really the Messiah. He has come for us. But then the teaching continued. And if you continue reading, he starts talking about how God chose a widow outside of Israel from the land of Sidon. And then how there were many lepers in Israel and God chose Naaman the Syrian from the land of Syria. And that's when things got really bad. Because until then, they were speaking well of Jesus. They were speaking well of him because he was talking words of grace. But when he started to show that the scope of his grace was so much bigger than just the people of Israel, they were enraged. So let me read it to you. Verse 25. I say to you, in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months when a great famine came over the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And they were like, what? To Sidon? And then he said the same thing about a leper named Naaman from Syria. And that's when the Bible says they got so enraged that they tried to throw him from the cliff. And there's a big cliff there in Nazareth. And it didn't matter that they were in a church service. It was like, no, it's us versus them. And they should not get this favor of God to be accepted this way. Of course, Jesus was introducing to them the scope of his grace. And they were enraged. He was a God too big for their small minds. Today, God reminds you that he does have this in mind, that his kingdom accepts all tribes and people and nations and colors, that you personally are accepted. Perhaps other people have not accepted you. Perhaps you have been marginalized. Jesus came to tear down those walls. Salvation is for all who will accept it, and that includes you. He came to save all. Every kindred, every color, everyone. So if you have lived with the pain of not being accepted because of who you are, may you know today that God accepts you. You are accepted to the point that he saved everyone who will accept him.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Well, friends, thank you for spending time with us this morning. And if you'd like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend or even rewatch some part of today's program, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning. We will have music from Alessandro Sodace, an encouraging message from John Bradshaw, and another Dog Tales episode. Be sure to join us.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study.
Well, friends, that's all for today. But before we go, we have a Bible promise just for you. And it comes from James chapter 1, verse 5.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him.
What a beautiful promise. You know, God, who is unerring and never makes a wrong decision or error, he holds out his hand to us, calling us to seek him for wisdom. And so how could we ever go wrong when following his counsel?
I don't think we can.
No. Let's trust in him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for that promise. And we will turn to you. Not wait until things go bad, but even now, Lord, we turn to you and say, Lord, as we prepare to face another day, fill us with heavenly wisdom. Draw near to us, Lord. And thank you, because this gives us a lot of hope. In Jesus' name, amen.